Pray with us. God, who is good and gracious, be present to us now that we may know both. Be near to us and draw us near to you, that as we listen for your word, we may hear you speak, that our faith may be strengthened to follow, and that Christ might be glorified in us, in this place and beyond. We ask it in his name. Amen. We tried to find the right word for World Communion Sunday, the right passage, and we landed in what may be an odd place, Psalm 107, and I was struck with this verse right away at the beginning. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their stories. Consider for a moment your story. How did you come into the church? How did you begin to encounter the faith? Was it in your family? Was it a Sunday school teacher? Was it a coach, a teacher, a neighbor? Who was it that first began for you to kind of embody this thing that you had an interest in? Was it as a child, college student? Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their stories. Consider your story. Who in your life made faith easier and who made it more difficult? What was the most common and most difficult barrier that you faced to being a disciple of Jesus Christ? Was it yourself? Someone else? Was it doubts? Was it education? Was it a bad experience with something or someone that called itself or themselves Christian? Where did your story start? And how did it unfold to lead you to today? Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their stories. I couldn't stop thinking about it this week. Imagine, if you could, a snapshot of even only part of the stories of the church as it gathers this morning. Imagine the diversity of people who grew up in the faith. Who, as a friend of mine said, I never knew a time Jesus didn't love me. I was surrounded by people from birth who followed Jesus Christ and taught me to do the same. I never really questioned it. I never really rebelled against it. Or imagine the stories of those who would say something else. I either didn't grow up in it or I got lost. I went my own way. I chased after things. I thought other stuff was more important. I didn't care that much. I didn't see the point. Those who found faith and first heard the call of Jesus in the military or from a coworker. Those who cried out to Jesus in the midst of addiction, finally getting to a place where they admitted, I can't control my life anymore. I now know what everyone around me has known. I'm not in charge. I need help. Imagine those who turn to Jesus from sickness or from pain. Those who, in the midst of an ordinary season, were invited to church by a neighbor and there heard the call of Christ on their life. Or, as our video invites today, imagine a child in a place like Niger who will one day say, some Presbyterians from the United States heard the call of God on their life and they ended up in my village. And we ate grasshoppers together. and they taught me that Jesus loved me. And I learned it from them. I saw it in them. Can you imagine even some of the stories of people of faith as the redeemed would share them? In this time of pandemic and COVID and whatever you call these moments, Michael and I have done Unity. We have struggled to bring messages that have to do with oneness in a time where there is lots of opportunity to divide. We have hit that theme hard, and we don't want to overdo it. We don't want to repeat it today. And so this isn't about necessarily the reality of being one church and one people. It's about imagining what the stories of some of those people would be. Can you imagine the stories of the redeemed, the starts, the stops, the ups, the downs, the successes and failures? Think of just your own story, your own life, and try to comprehend that multiplied by millions and millions. People who gather to worship Jesus Christ today, knowing that if that's found out, they're in danger. It may be prison. It may be persecution. It may be worse. People who gather to worship Jesus Christ today who don't have food, who didn't eat breakfast, who walked barefooted on a dirt road several miles from their hut to the church's hut because they've heard the call of Christ in their life through someone or something. Imagine those today like we do who gather in beautiful buildings, stained glass and expensive organs, tables, pottery, and all the rest, baptisms, the stuff that we treasure, the stuff that we're fortunate and blessed with. Can you begin to see the incredible beauty of this thing we call church? When we say church, we often mean this place if we're Presbyterian. Sometimes we mean this group of people. Today is a day to remember that when we say church, we also mean something bigger than most of us usually remember. Something so incredible, so amazing, the tapestry of all of the stories of the redeemed and all the places they started and all of the ground they traveled and all of the best and all of the worst. As together we were drawn to the same person, Jesus Christ. Because ultimately, what today is about and what this table is about is that it's not where our story started that matters. It's not the starts and stops. It's not what we got right and what we got wrong. That stuff is all important. But the story that draws us is the story of Jesus Christ. A love for people who grew up in a first world country, blessed to always have enough, and blessed by people around them who taught them the faith, and people who grew up in places and circumstances that many of us can't imagine. And they too heard an invitation to come to Jesus Christ. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their stories. And as we do, let us not only remember how amazing those stories are, more importantly, let us remember that they all lead us to the same place, the same grace, the same invitation, the same love. Jesus Christ, the one who calls us to himself and gives us his body for all of our stories to be found in his.
I think that we are maybe even in some cases overwhelmed by the reality that God is able to be alive and active in all of our stories, that God is capable of working in the lives of those who we have not even met, who we will never meet. And we might miss in the grandeur of that the incredibly personal call to tell our story, our own story, and the work that it takes to be able to do that. This psalm, if you were to read the whole thing, which I would recommend, is an account over and over and over of difficulties that have come in life and how God has worked in those moments to bring about restoration and healing. And the ability to tell that story is completely dependent upon our ability to remember what God has done, to call to mind. And it is not on accident that today we stand behind a table that many of us remember growing up in a place where that table says, in remembrance of me. We come to this place to remember, so that we might tell our story in a new way. And I think that we might make a mistake when we think of that story. We might make remembering more shallow than it should be. Now, let me explain what I mean. In the Gwecki family, we have a thing that sits on our kitchen counter. It's a little screen, and it cycles through pictures that we have taken over the years. It's sort of like a digital scrapbook. Others have those scrapbooks that you've made. Some have printed, some you've cut out and you've created, and some have put pictures of family and loved ones on the wall. And the idea is when we look at these images, we remember. We remember maybe that moment when that picture was taken, but even more deeply, we remember the people who it represents, the stories and lives that we've lived together. And at its most basic, we might recall to memory those people. Much like a museum you go to visit, it's good and you're glad that you're there, and then you walk on. But that's not the fullness of what we mean when we're called to remember what God has done. We're not just to be those who go back in our mind's eye and reflect on another day. We're to be those for whom that memory of who Christ is transforms who we are today. And you might not know, it's built into the word remember. That word can be split into two, re and member. Literally, to be membered again, to have our bodies put back together. Remembering, which is a thing we might do in our minds, has a way of transforming something in our present reality. When we come to the table of Jesus Christ, we do not just remember the sacrifice he gave for us. We don't just go into our mind's eye and imagine it. Friends, we are remembered to him. And that is what John Calvin encourages us to consider as we come to the table. Is not that we just come to a place where we partake of these elements, which are human elements, bread and juice. But when we come to this table, Calvin invites us to imagine that if we could only see, we are transported to a spiritual place. That the risen Christ actually meets us here. That in the remembrance of him, we are remembered to him. And friends, if that's true, we're not just united to the one who knows us and calls us as his own. Friends, if that is true, we're united with this entire church whose story we are called to remember. The church that not only exists today in Niger, but a church that has existed for hundreds and thousands of years. Men and women who have been faithful and whose faithfulness has been passed down generation to generation, that this day we have the privilege to stand and remember Jesus Christ. So, let us then be encouraged, each and every one of us, as we come to this table, not just to remember the sacrifice of Christ, but to trust him in faith that he might remember us to our family, a family which exists in this building, in the homes of those who are worshiping with us this day, and literally around the world and throughout time. That is what we seek to do as we come to this place, to be reunited with the one who calls us as his own and to bring him honor and glory as we do it.
Friends, in these last several months, so much has changed. Perhaps we could say that some of it has been good. Perhaps we would be able to say, I hope we would, that There have been changes that we have appreciated, new things that we've learned, new patterns that we hope to incorporate. But much of the change have been things that we've lost, things that aren't the same that we grieve, things that we wish were like they used to be. It has been many, many months since we were able to stand at this table and once again proclaim the story of grace, the invitation of Jesus Christ to be redeemed by His body and blood, and to understand that our story is found in His story. Perhaps ours is a life of blessing and gratitude, and we give thanks. Perhaps we are in a season of pain and struggle, and we find hope. Perhaps it is never one or the other, and we find a word for both at this table. At this table, we remember that God sent Jesus Christ for the very act of redeeming our stories, of saving our stories, giving us new life. And as we are again invited to this table and this supper, we remember that promise. And today, we remember that we come to this place with those who aren't with us, even in our own community and in any place around the world you can think of, where our brothers and sisters, those who are also redeemed, tell their stories again and give thanks to Jesus Christ.